This is Cascadia Public Radio.
Hello, this is James Corbett of CorbettReport.com with your Sunday update for this 14th day of March 2010. And now for the real news. In our top story this week, ABC News is facing severe criticism after airing an inaccurate and misleading report on the 9/11 truth movement. The report filed by Chris Bury for the network's Nightline program purported to be coverage of the recent Treason in America conference in Valley Forge, Pennsylvania, but appears to be a desperate attempt by the corporate media to tie legitimate questions about 9/11 into random acts of deranged violence committed by people like Pentagon shooter John Patrick Bedell. Now, critics are alleging that the ABC News team hounded their interview subjects for soundbites in fiercely combative interrogations, and they have the behind-the-scenes footage to prove it. This is what they aired on the report from an interview with celebrated FBI whistleblower Colleen Rowley, Time Person of the Year for 2002 and the woman who exposed FBI management's deliberate efforts to block FBI field agents from foiling the 9/11 attacks in August 2001.
A lot of the people here believe that the government helped murder innocent Americans. Do you share their belief, the belief of the people at this convention?
Well, you know, of course, anytime you get a group together, I don't care what group it is.
So do you believe it or not?
Do I believe what?
Do you believe that the American government helped kill innocent Americans?
Well, when you, again, let me, you're kind of trying to almost put me on a...
No, well, let me
you know
do it.
You remind me of when I was an FBI agent.
Okay, let me do it a different way.
What I believe is that the full truth, and actually the 9/11 commissioners now say this too, is not known. Absolutely.
And this is what they did not air.
On a telephone call, our acting supervisor is on the phone and says, "Don't you know this is going into the World Trade Center?" And he says this in August of 2001. Now, when that is not going to be told, when the this was the Joint Intelligence Committee initially, when that is not going to be really offered and talked about, and there are minders in the government that every time you're interviewed, I was never interviewed by myself. Yeah, you guys have a strong, it just seems to me, again, I've been interviewed by many, many people, and I've actually given interviews, many interviews about 9/11. I've never been so aggressively asked these kinds of questions, almost as if you are a defense attorney, like I'm an FBI agent on the witness stand, and you're trying to get me to say a word where, you know, complicit and these types of things.
The report is also coming under fire for concentrating almost entirely on the young filmmakers behind Loose Change and completely ignoring the architects and engineers, first responders, victims' family members, and others who may have made it difficult for ABC to characterize the movement as a collection of conspiracy theorists.
Do you believe elements of the U.S. government murdered American citizens?
I believe that it's highly possible that there were definitely elements within the Bush administration that either were criminally negligent or criminally complicit in the events.
Complicit, you mean they allowed the killing of innocent Americans?
One way or another, they allowed the killing of innocent Americans. The only question is how responsible they were for it.
Why would they do that?
Why wouldn't they?
Let me ask you an honest question. Are you going to do a sit-down interview with Bob McElveen?
I don't know.
So that's a no.
I would urge you to do that.
See, that's the thing. You're here to interview us, but you're not here to interview a family member. Why is that? Why is that? I'm curious.
I told you I don't know.
You don't know. You're the producer, aren't you?
No, I'm the reporter.
You're the reporter? Well, why can't you at least sit down with Bob McElveen and interview him just for the hell of it?
I would urge you to.
This
has been a very emotional interview.
Because you've actually been here, you've had an opportunity to speak to all these people that could actually talk to you about the loved ones they lost, the actual pain and grief that they've had to go through, and instead you're sitting here interviewing us. So why is that? Why is it easier to interview us than the actual people who were affected by 9/11?
Because you don't want to interview them.
No, I don't think so. Because you're not doing your job. You are not doing your job.
Either way.
Plain and simple.
Thank you. Nice interview. Nice to meet you.
Good luck. Chris Beery's report is noteworthy for its inclusion of a comment from 9/11 Commission co-chair Lee Hamilton, who appears to dismiss conspiracy theories about what really happened on 9/11 in a soundbite that may or may not have been gathered specifically for this report. It's unclear what theories Hamilton is disparaging, as none are actually addressed in the attack piece, but it is evidently not the fact that the 9/11 Commission report does not even mention World Trade Center 7, which collapsed directly into its own footprint at freefall acceleration on the afternoon of 9/11 despite not having been hit by a plane, nor the fact that 9/11 Commission report claims that the source of the funding for the attacks is of no practical significance, despite the fact that the very men who would go on to lead the congressional investigation into the attacks were enjoying breakfast with one of the suspected financiers on the morning of 9/11. Nor is it the fact that 6 of the 10 9/11 commissioners, including Lee Hamilton, believe the commission was deliberately obstructed by the Bush administration.
Even Lee Hamilton, the co-chair of the 9/11 Commission itself, admits to us that the process he headed up was seriously flawed.
So there are all kinds of reasons we thought we were set up to fail. We got started late. We had a very short time frame. Indeed, we had to get it extended. We did not have enough money. They were afraid we were going to hang somebody.
In a positive development, ABC News announced last month that dwindling viewership is leading them to close all of their bureaus across the U.S. except Washington, and that half of their domestic correspondents will be losing their jobs. No word yet on whether Chris Beery will be one of the reporters to be let go. In other news this week, Iceland is positioning itself to become the world leader in free speech and investigative journalism. A backlash against government-imposed censorship over information related to the country's economic collapse has given birth to a movement calling for free access to information, including leaked documents that otherwise would be subject to an injunction. Now this movement has given rise to a proposal known as INI, the Icelandic Modern Media Initiative. INI is seeking to pass legislation to protect journalistic sources and prevent corporations from leveling injunctions on uncomfortable information.
The group scoured the statutes of countries like Belgium, France, Scotland, and the United States for the strongest legal wording on issues like source protection, protection of communications, protection from unfair libel charges, and lumped them into a proposal for a single law. One last aspect is crucial: allowing news organizations and journalists from overseas to access computer servers in Iceland to host sensitive content, in order to try to keep them beyond the reach of repressive governments and courts.
On a related note, in continuing coverage of S-372, a bill pending in the U.S. Senate which threatens to strip national security whistleblowers of even the semblance of legal protection, the Corbett Report this week talked to FBI whistleblowers Jane Turner and Sybel Edmonds.
Now, remember, I told you that after I was, it was full south of the FBI here after many, many years of exemplary service, the head of this division, and we have paperwork to show that the executives back at FBI HQ not only tried to discredit me, but my allegations, that kind of activity would happen if this redlining of this bill occurs.
This is making something really, really bad worse. And that's the position we are in, and this is why we have joined the National Whistleblower Center, saying, well, you're right. We are glad that you're bringing it up. And we support your position, and as long as we emphasize that the current system in place is truly terrible to start with. So it won't be a big parade, even if, let's say, this doesn't go through or if these provisions are not inserted in it, we won't be celebrating as national security whistleblowers. We will just say, good that it didn't get worse.
Finally this week, Belgian farmers are protesting the EU's recent decision to allow genetically modified Amflora potatoes into the EU.
In the potato-growing heartland outside Brussels, the anger rumbles like spuds in the sorting machines. Farmers here don't want anything to do with the European Union decision to allow a high-performing genetically modified potato called Amflora for use in paper, adhesives, and textiles.
Farmers, concerned that the GM potatoes will taint the natural starch potatoes already growing in the EU, are being told by GMO manufacturers to simply keep GM crops separated from natural crops.
In 2000, Canadian canola farmer Percy Schmeiser lost a case against GM manufacturer Monsanto in which GM Roundup Ready seeds blew into his field from a neighboring farm. Monsanto won damages from Schmeiser for patent infringement on the patented GMO organism. The decision was upheld by the Supreme Court of Canada in 2004, but the court did not require him to pay Monsanto in damages that the lower court had ordered. Although the Amflora potatoes in the EU are not intended for human consumption, there is concern they will be fed to livestock and end up in the food chain. Despite studies that indicate GM peas cause lung damage in mice, GM soy causes sterility and death in lab rats, GM corn alters organ rate and urine chemistry in rats, studies that show antibiotic resistance marker genes in GM foods can lead to the creation of antibiotic resistant diseases, and studies showing that GM genes can jump the species barrier and cause bacteria to mutate, GM food manufacturers still claim their crops are perfectly safe for human consumption. Now, stay tuned to CorbettReport.com for episode 121 of the Corbett Report podcast, Know Your Toxins, EPA, where we discuss bisphenol A, a gender-bending estrogen mimicker, which has been added to plastics for decades.